We now come to item four, presentation on the Archbishop of York's pilgrimage of prayer. So I'd like to invite the Archbishop to come and address the Synod.
You have been Centenary number two. You have been given a park, and in there you're going to find four things, and the one that I want you to take out at the beginning is the prayer beads. And they're very easy to open. Don't try to do it from the top. You've got to go in the middle, like that. You prise them open, and they come out at the other end. Has everybody got there yet? You prize it from the, hold on to the white piece of paper and then go to the bottom like that, and it just comes out. Okay. Grateful for these beads are made in Egypt through the courtesy of the Archbishop there. And they're simply to help us say the Lord's Prayer. It's not a rosary. It's just my own invention to make sure the body and mind are working together. So I'm going to lead you through what I did when I was in pilgrimage. I have been invited, and I want to thank you first of all for remembering me and Canon Joanna Udo, my pilgrimage companion, as we walked around the Diocese of York in very challenging weather conditions. I just want to thank you all. Countless good moments on our journey renewed our trust in Christ, and we rejoiced that we saw the Holy Spirit doing wonderful things. Amazing. I could be here all night, so I'm not going to go into those amazing things. On our pilgrimage, I prayed the Our Father around five times every day for 6 months, sharing it with over 25,000 people. And that experience taught me that this prayer actually says it all. I began each prayer session by sharing how this prayer expresses in greater simplicity the very heart of the good news of Jesus Christ. It is a prayer that nourishes our life long abiding in Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. So I want to invite you to participate in this with me today to hear and reflect on our Lord's teaching to his disciples and ask to pray, as recorded in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 to 15, and Luke 11, verses 1 to 4. We read, Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples. Jesus was praying. As God's beloved son, Jesus, during his earthly existence, often took time to stop and enter into this conscious, intimate relationship with the Father. So prayer for me is the act by which we take ourselves voluntarily, with open hands, into the presence of God, aided by the Holy Spirit. Lord, teach us to pray. The disciples were Jews, and prayer was an essential part of their lives. They had prayers for all occasions, morning and evening prayers, prayers before meals, and so on. So what kind of praying did they want from Jesus? Now what Jesus of Nazareth gives them is no new liturgical text. He gives them something only the one who came from above can give. Something new and powerful. Something very unique. Praying as he prayed is a gateway through which they can enter into the same kind of relationship with the Father. So let us then examine briefly the two parts of the Our Father. Pray in this way, said Jesus. First, the God to whom we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This section has three divine diamonds which speak of our Father's name, our Father's kingdom, and our Father's will. May a Father in heaven's name, kingdom, and will, that is, his power, his wisdom, his holiness, his rule of justice and peace, be made known and honored and glorified by all God's creatures. And this has an evangelistic zeal to it. We know through Jesus Christ, God's name, God's kingdom, and God's will. So we should have a burning desire to make them known by our witness. And as we honor and glorify our Father's identity, that's name, we do his will, we live his kingdom as ambassadors of Jesus Christ. The glory of God is the first thing that God's children adopted by his grace in Christ should desire. It is the object of our Lord's own prayers. Father, glorify your name. It is the purpose for which the world was created. Gerard Manley Hopkins wrote so beautifully, "The world is charged with the grandeur of God. It is the end for which the saints are called and converted. It is the main thing we should seek, that God in all things may be glorified," says 1 Peter. Our truest joy is unceasing doing our Father's will. And this is the highest test of love, coupled with a desiring all that humankind may know it, submit to it, and live to it. So in this first part of the Our Father, we express how Jesus Christ brings us into a new relationship with the Father. It is as if when we say, "Our Father in heaven," we let Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit take us by the hand and lead us into our Father's home. By his Son and his Spirit, the two hands of God, the Father embraces his prodigal children and draws them to himself. As we pray these three petitions, "Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done," we are praying that the entire world may discover God's true identity and dwell in his house. And we give our life to God so that through us, God can share his divine life with others. So our purpose is this: to glorify God, to honor his name, to desire and delight in his kingdom, and to be ever ready to do his will. For his is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever and ever. So we set out on pilgrimage in order to witness to God's love and light in the simplest realities of our life. And we bless what the Holy Spirit is doing as we walked. There were so many fantastic things God was already doing. But friends, it was amazing to be simply blessing what you saw. Healings, people finding faith, people just moved to home, suddenly want to know about the church. And it was just amazing. People suddenly requesting to be baptized. Thank God in those days there were a lot of floods, so there was a lot of water by which you could baptize them in. We now turn to the second part of the Our Father. "Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Jesus Christ tells us not to take any provision with us for the journey. This is a pilgrimage of trust. At each stage, God will give us all we need. On our pilgrimage of trust, the first gift God offers us is our daily bread, material and spiritual support, which is Christ himself, who nourishes and sustains us by giving us here on earth a foretaste of heaven. This is an invitation to acknowledge our entire dependence on God for the supply of our daily necessities. Friends, it is interesting to note that in Exodus 16, the story of the manna in the wilderness, the temptations of Jesus regarding bread in Matthew 4, verses 2 and 4, and the story of the multiplication of the loaves followed by a discourse on the bread of life in John 6, the gifts of bread in these passages occurs in an inhabited place, in the desert. You see, human beings are able to welcome things as gifts from God in that uninhabited place. And on our pilgrimage, we suddenly found ourselves at times in a desert where Christ, by his Spirit, did indeed feed us. So when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we're asking God to sustain us during our pilgrimage with the Holy Spirit so that we may bring God's living water, God's light, God's love into the deserts of this world. The second gift God offers us is forgiveness. so that we can begin our journey again. New beginning is possible because our Father is full of, as in Hebrew, hesed and emet, as Exodus 34, verse 6 to 7. A compassionate and gracious God abounding in steadfast faithfulness, friendliness, and mercy. God forgives. Even if yesterday we were inattentive to our Father's call, God remains faithful. And by forgiveness, God sets us back on the road today. And God's greatest miracle in us is his constant, constant forgiveness. Our Father in heaven never tires of forgiving us. Well, when I said this in a school assembly during my pilgrimage, Fred, aged 8, said, "Sir, does God forgive us even when we haven't done anything wrong?" Friends, how would you have answered? Well, I asked Fred whether he had ever failed to do things he should have done, to brush his teeth, or not making his bed when his mom asked him. "Yes, yes," he said, not giving his mom a letter from the head teacher. "Yes," he said. Then I said, "Fred, those things weren't wrong things you did. They were good things that you did not do." For most of us, our greatest failure, by the way, I've now begun to discover for myself, is not doing good. In my Christian journey, where I'm failing is not doing bad things, by the way. Sometimes I'm capable, but what I fail most is not doing good things we should actually have done. But you know, forgiveness covers both the wrongs we do and the good we don't do. Well, at the end of the assembly, Fred came to me and said, "Sir, I'll start making my bed. I'll brush my teeth. And I'll give that letter from the head teacher to my mom. It is still in my bag." So when we say no to self-righteousness and self-justifying, we can develop the habit of seeking mercy and forgiveness. The Lord, as it were, washing our feet. And likewise, we wash each other's feet and forgive others as God in Christ has forgiven us. The third gift God offers us is his assistance and deliverance, especially at times when we are most vulnerable, so that our trials themselves can be transformed into springboards to take us even farther ahead. The valley of tears can become a place of living springs. But we must know our spiritual dangers. "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." And only Christ can deliver us. Temptation and evil are like a bird of prey, a hawk or an osprey. We can never stop them from flying above our heads, but we can prevent them from building a nest in our hair. I apologize, I haven't got much hair, but you've got such. At least you can stop it from making a nest in your head. That's what lead us not to temptation, deliver us from evil. Being aware of it, but praying Christ will help us, they will not take root. And the good news is this: we do not know how to pray. This Holy Spirit intercedes for us. Jesus also ever lives to intercede for us at the right hand of the Father. Now, I love the story of a little girl of 3 who one day came back from her nursery able to say the alphabet. She kept on saying it again and again and again. Well, at bedtime, her mother asked her to say her prayers before she went to bed. She knelt by her bed, closed her eyes, and prayed A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and went on right to Z. She said the whole alphabet. Then she said, "Jesus, please turn all that into prayer. Amen." That's what Paul is hitting at in Romans. We don't know what to pray, but the Spirit does. So the Holy Spirit interceding for us, we sigh too deep for words as we make our inarticulate groans or grunts. In this way, our pilgrimage resembles more and more closely to that of Jesus Christ, his Paschal mystery which transfigures death into a road of endless life, now living and dying no more. Now then, so let us pray our Father. Please, as I said to you, can you get hold of your prayer beads? And holding them by the cross, the instruction is that we will listen to the chant from Teze, joining in when we sing it a second time, and at the end, holding the cross, actually we'll say that wonderful prayer of adoration, but let's have a go to start with. Holding on to the cross, we're going to say this prayer. I adore you, O Christ, hello, there you go. Could we pray together? I adore you, O Christ, and I bless you. By your holy cross, you have saved me, and you have redeemed the world. And then the prayer just follows on very naturally. You go on from the cross to the little bits. I will lead you into Lord, have mercy. And you respond, Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. There'll be a little pause, and you move your fingers onto the big one. That's the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven. And we simply repeat the cycle three times. I've discovered by doing it this way, it's changed my prayer life. So we're going to do it now. So as in Teze, you do not stand for singing. We're going to remain sitting, and the music will appear on the board. For those who are too far away and you think, I can't see the words, in there is a card in the park with the chant from Teze and then the actual prayers. But the music is going to come on the screen, and then we'll sing.
Thank you.
And so, holding on to our crosses, we pray together. I adore you, O Christ, and I bless you. By your holy cross, you have saved me, and you have redeemed the world. Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Christ, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Lord, have mercy.
Once more we say that prayer of adoration. I adore you, O Christ, and I bless you. By your holy cross, you have saved me, and you have redeemed the world. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you intercede for us with sighs too deep for words. Rekindle in us the fire of God's love. Fill us with power to witness to Christ. Renew our witness. Risen and ascended, Lord, we thank you that you intercede for us at the right hand of the Father. Receive our petitions. Heal the sick, comfort the dying, raise the fallen, search out those who are lost, renew your gospel in our land. Amen. In the park, you found also there are two other pieces of paper. One is a prayer, a little prayer card which we used before we set out, and I just encourage you to use it before you set out on any journey. It's got some good things to say. And then the bookmarker, again, those are prayers I wrote while I was on Lindisfarne. It's been a great privilege to share this with you, and I trust that you will take the material. Don't be like everywhere we went, people wanted to hand it back. And I realized I was in Yorkshire. Thank you very much, and God bless you richly.
That concludes item 4, and we now move to the next item.